We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
That's us. She's not lying, and we have not called out sick. We have not used the migraine excuse, the sick kid excuse, the dead relative excuse. Paul Bible, effectively, well, let's just say he's not here today. We wish Paul and his family well. Hopefully, Paul, a.k.a. the Preacher Man, can come back tomorrow. But we are here at High Noon. Rick Kamla, John Michaels. We have Mark Owens behind the glass. And Mark Owens is, he said just a moment ago, he's ready to pick up his level of play the rest of the show. We got 2 hours and 2 minutes to go.
Yeah, well, you set the bar pretty low. It's not hard to step over. I know Paul's listening because he'll text us about segments and things going on.
Well, he's trying to embellish his role in the tire change scenario.
During the slice of life, we were talking about, you know, what's your go-to excuse, and somehow that turned into changing tires, and your excuse to why you can't change a tire, and you were talking about being at a football camp and had to change Paul's tire.
Yep.
Now, I heard the story that both of y'all changed it together, but over the
years... We did. It was more me than him. Paul, like he does here, Paul is a manager type. Paul goes, you go do this, this, and this. And I kind of just fell into line and did that. And then
so he just bossed you around.
Basically. And we needed an officer to help. I couldn't get the lug nut to move, neither could Paul. An officer comes over and goes, all right, you guys are doing it wrong. You actually have to use your body weight. And he stood on the crowbar and used his feet to get – that's how jam tight those things were on Paul's wheels.
What's a lug nut?
Well, Paul was a little upset because
– the thing that holds the tire on?
Okay.
Like the bolt.
So I have them on my car now.
That's usually a very integral part of the tire process is the lug nut.
Have you seen A Christmas Story? It was on recently.
Yes.
Do you remember the oh fudge part? Mm-hmm.
I watched it a long time ago. I told you that movie's overrated as hell and I don't watch it anymore.
Oh, God. Nah, I just tried to do a scene back here with Rick and Good Will Hunting. We're talking about like what it takes to stay up late to watch football.
I told him the Saturday night Pac-12 games, right? The 10:30 joint. Oh, yeah. I love that window. But I was falling asleep, so I started taking a caffeine pill at like 9:30, 10, so I could stay up till 2:30 and 3 in the morning and watch these games.
So then I make the reference that, are you on pills? Are you okay? Do we need to get help? Do we need an intervention? It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault. Mm-hmm. Don't do this
to
me, man.
What movie is that from?
It's not your fault. Thank you. I did the whole scene for
I had no idea.
How you like those apples?
Tricky Ricky just stared at me.
I saw the movie. I liked the movie.
You don't remember the apples line?
I have remembered nothing of the movie. Not a single thing. Affleck was in it, and Damon was in it, and Robin Williams was in it, and that's where my memory of the movie ends.
Yeah, Affleck did a good job with his character. Ben Affleck was just the meathead from Boston. Like, that's what he should do in every role.
It's not your fault, though. You haven't seen it, but that one is your fault.
Now, did you see Geely with him and Jennifer,
Jennifer Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez.
Hell no.
Good man. You know what? That's the first time you're
allowed. Good job, Rick. Don't see that one.
Don't see that one. I'm okay with that
one,
right?
Horrible.
Okay.
That was when I was like, Jennifer Lopez is going to get basically undressed in this movie.
And she does not.
Did she?
No. Not enough to make it worthwhile.
So it's like that 50 Shades of lame and give me a break.
The wife
last
night.
Take your clothes off.
They get naked in those movies.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do. I've seen both of them. Trust me. It's not like, you know, you'll see on one of those sites that we're not allowed to talk about on the radio. But they get naked enough.
Account?
You get side boob, ladies and gentlemen. That's about all you. A little side boob.
By the way, the wife last night goes, you need to go ahead and order those tickets so we can be there.
To what?
Valentine's Day, the new 50 Shade crappy or whatever it is.
I am so happy I have a doubleheader at NBA TV that night, and I'm
so
happy.
So that's your call-out excuse.
Oh,
I've got a doubleheader.
And Charity actually looked a little pouted up when I was like, you know, I'm like, well, it's amateur night anyway to go out on Valentine. That's even more amateur night to me than New Year's Eve. So, no, I'm working, so I'm out.
So wait, are you going to make plans for Valentine's Day? You can't. Why?
I'm working.
I got a game.
You do not have a game.
I got a game.
Baseball hasn't, so you're not going to the Cactus League anywhere or the Grapefruit League, Mark Owens.
No, we are actually combining.
Now, Grant is.
That is his Valentine's Day. Hanging out at the ballpark, that's his romantic.
That and a double order of Meat Lover's Pizza.
I love Meat Lover's pizza.
Dude, there's a girl out there for Grant that when he – that. I'm sorry, buddy. I don't mean to put your business out there, but I can't wait.
Oh.
Grant's going to find that baseball girl
yep.
now. And when they finally get together, it's going to be magical.
She's going to break down wins above replacement for Grant, and Grant's going to propose on the spot. Like a ring will just magically appear like it's a WWE skit. This girl's going to love, you know, she's going to love the Bullet Club, and she can break down wins above replacement. If you're out there, 404-741-0929.
You got to be hot, though.
If you're a single woman who can break down slugging percentage and likes WWE, we have the perfect bachelor for you. His name is Grant McCauley.
I would recommend FarmersOnly.com. I would think
Time out.
I would think that the baseball girl, like the girl that's really into baseball and all that kind of stuff, would be more a Farmers Only type than a Match.com or Harmony or whatever type.
Is there like a SportsNuts.com as a dating app or something like that?
There's a million-dollar idea.
Let's go with that.
Yeah. Let's call it WhereSportsFansMeet.com.
See, Grant and her... You like to watch 50 Shades to kind
no,
of get
I don't
the mood.
Like to watch. I get forced to watch.
I don't. It's not even a tease. It doesn't even move at all.
They're going to watch Moneyball and get all in the mood. Grant's standing behind me. He goes, I hate that.
Grant has actually picked up a folding chair and is ready to smash you over the back of the head.
Can't show me a pair of bees from the side and anything happens.
I don't know. Jonah Hill in Moneyball.
Those are C's.
Wow.
Those aren't bees.
Belichick has bigger man boobs than him.
That might be true because it's skinny Jonah now. It's not fat Jonah like we used to all know and love. Let's talk some Falcons here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Putting up a Vision Computers Twitter poll at Rick and John 929. You can follow us at 92.9 The Game as well on Twitter and all our social media accounts. Which position in the offseason should the Falcons target first?
Oh, so this is now the time for me to answer that question?
Yes.
I was having fun breaking down non-sexy movies. Okay. What are our choices here? Are we creating a Vision Computer Twitter poll out of this
thing? We are. We're going to put defensive tackle.
Defensive tackle.
Guard. Tight end.
Just guard or right guard?
A guard. Okay. It doesn't matter. Give me a guard. Any tight end.
Uh-huh.
And do we want to do other? Or do we want to do, like, wide receiver? Do we want to do quarterback?
I like other.
Other?
Okay. I like other.
The fourth choice will be other, Mark Owens.
I do. I like other. we both agree that tight end, DT, and guard are the three positions, the top three in whatever order.
Yeah.
I'm going to say guard. I need protection for Matt Ryan. I feel confident that we're going to bring back two of our three guys, Upshaw, Claiborne, and or Dontari Poe. I just feel like two of those three guys are going to come back.
Well, for me, that's part of the shopping, though, because there's no guarantee those guys are coming back.
Correct, but there's no guarantee. But like I said, I am assuming that two out of those three guys will come back. We have shown in recent years a propensity to keep our own as opposed to going out and kind of, what do they call it, getting the forbidden fruit. And how many free agents in the NFL blow up in your face? It happens all the time. You overpay for a guy, and he stinks, and you cut him 2 years later, and there's all this dead money. How did Terrell Pryor work out with the Washington Redskins? It was madness. But I need more protection for Matt Ryan, John. I need an upgrade on Wes Schweitzer. And if we bring Levitre back, I'm cool with that. But if we don't, then maybe we have two holes at guard. So for me, my answer in our Vision Computer Twitter poll, greatest position of need here in the offseason, to me, it's guard. How about you?
Here's what's interesting, and I'm on one of my favorite offseason sites, Spotrac.com, which breaks down contracts and everything else. They do, as free agency starts to get along, they put market values of players. What do you think the market value for Dontari Poe would be on an annual contract? Mind you, he made $8 million
bucks
last year.
I gotta drop him down a little bit. I don't feel like he's in that eight zone. Six and a half per.
They actually have him at 5.7 annually. So they're thinking his market value would be 3 years, $17.2 million.
Sign it up. I'd bring him back at that.
In a heartbeat. What if he goes, I need $8 million per? Is that a line in the sand? Bye-bye.
Yeah. If he needs seven, if he six, I could maybe go 18 over three. That'd be my cap. And I think I said six and a half, but I was being a little generous. And based on the market value of researchers or computer nerds that know more than I do about the economics of the NFL. So I'm more with that. Could I go six? Dude, I could go six and a half or seven over a two-year deal. But if we're talking a three-year deal, I'm more in that six, five and a half range.
For me, if I have what do I want to upgrade, it's probably guard. What do I have to shop for first is defensive tackle. You're talking about Dontari Poe, Adrian Claiborne, who's an end but also plays some tackle. Courtney Upshaw, Anitaba Rubin are all free agents. If just by chance you lose all four of them, Where does that leave your defensive line? It leaves it in shambles.
You're light. Shambles is maybe not that strong. I mean, if you lose four guys and we don't have a ready-made replacement in the middle to run our 4-3 setup, that would be a buzzkill.
I mean, who would your starting defensive tackles then be? Grady Jarrett and Jack Crawford?
But Crawford's kind of more of an end who swings, right? So
yeah.
I that would be a glaring hole. And by the way, the run defense that was improving last year, was still overall rated not that great. Would take a huge hit without Don Terry Poe. Because people need to understand, for guys like Grady Jarrett and Don Terry Poe, it's not necessarily about sacks and tackles for loss and tackles. It's about a lot of stuff that doesn't show up in the box score that they do to plug the middle, take on double teams, stop the run, and support the run and that kind of stuff, man. So, look, I can't bring back Don Terry Poe at $8 million a year. I can't.
I can't either.
So, look, the cool thing is that at the end of the first round, that is the window for Vita Vea, Maurice Hurst, and Daron Payne. Mm-hmm. That is the window for those guys. I don't think Vita Vea, John, with the combine, and he may get the freak tag, and he may slide up to 15, and that ship may sail away from our Falcons. But Daron Payne may be there. And so that's just a little bit of a sweet spot for interior D linemen in this draft is right about where we'll be drafting.
It'll be interesting to see how they play this out. I think two at minimum are going to come back. I think Claiborne will be a priority, and I think they are going to try to prioritize Don Terry Poe because he played well for his role. He's never going to be a big stat guy. He's going to be a take on the double team and let everybody else run free guy. And he had 2.5 sacks, about 25 tackles. That's not $8 million worth. He's not an Aaron Donald. He's not a Fletcher Cox. He's not a disruptor. And those guys are making more money than $8 million per. But that's not the type of defensive tackle that Don Terry Poe is. I think they'd be willing to bring back Courtney Upshaw. But again, Courtney Upshaw's a million, million and a half guy. He's not a guy that's going to break the salary cap one way or the other. If I'm looking to upgrade positions, mind you, you have Schweitzer under contract. I know Garland's a free agent, but technically you still have Andy Levitre under contract.
Right.
So you could, and Andy Levitre is going to be a guy that most likely is a restructure guy at worst. A cut guy potentially as well. But I think I'm more along your lines. They may restructure Andy Levitre, move that money that he's owed this upcoming year, and get him to come back as your left guard in a scenario. So what you'd be looking at guard isn't replacing, it's upgrading. Because you're not going to cut Wes Schweitzer. Even if you go out and get a different right guard, I don't think you cut Wes Schweitzer.
No.
I think he's a guy that stays in the rotation.
Definitely. And it's because he's a drafted guy, but it's also because he now has a year of playing under his belt. And he can swing to either guard spot. So he'd be a nice sort of utility knife to have in the drawer. And a nice depth guy, obviously, kind of like Ben Garland was last year. Going back to what you were talking about with Don Terry Poe, in terms of not being a stat guy. Well, one of the reasons Deion Jones was such a great stat guy is Don Terry Poe and Grady Jarrett taking on offensive linemen and letting Deion Jones just run wild and free and make tackles. It's a lot of what the Georgia defensive line did for Roquan Smith to rack up those huge numbers. Because if the defensive tackles, John, this past year were subpar, Deion Jones would not have been a Pro Bowler.
Nope.
That's fact. It's a package deal. Deion Jones, top five in tackles in the NFL, and it's because he's a great player, but it's also because of what those power pigs were doing up there in the middle.
I love it. Power pigs. You should get some T-shirts that say power pigs.
I got to be honest. I hate rhyme stealers, and I don't want to be a rhyme stealer. I think I got to give Jamie Dukes the copyright on that one.
Okay.
He might have come up with power pigs, a lot of shows, a lot of parties, a lot of games, but I'll go ahead and give Jamie Dukes a shout-out on that. I think I might have gotten power pigs from him.
Would you pay $11 million for a Sheldon Richardson, or is that just too much for one position?
I can't go that high.
What about $8 million for a Star Lotulelei?
Now you're talking. I do like Star, and what he's about 5 years in the league.
28 years old.
So he's right smack dab in the middle of his prime. I wouldn't go a five-year deal on him. I may go a 3 or 4 year deal, get him into his early 30s. But are they saying that's the market value on Star Lotulelei?
That's what they had for Lotulelei and for Sheldon Richardson.
Is he still on Carolina?
He is.
Star?
But he's a free agent now.
So we would be taking away from one of our competitors. Mm-hmm. We'd be getting that much better. I'd be open to that, definitely.
Let me ask you, some guys on the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line, we do have tight end listed. Some people have said, hey, how about Jimmy Graham?
I would love Jimmy Graham. What are we paying for him, though?
You're probably going to pay at minimum $10 million per.
I'd rather build through the draft on that. Do we have the money to pay Jimmy Graham $10 million a year?
I don't think so. Now, Spotrac says they think he'll go 3 years and about $20 million, 6.7 per.
Then I'm fully in on Jimmy Graham.
I find it hard to believe a guy that caught 10 touchdowns a year ago only goes for $6 million per. Well, that seems like a fairly low number for a guy.
I agree, but he's a little long in the tooth.
31.
He's got a lot of years behind him, so maybe that's it. But I'm thinking, why would Seattle let him go? They gave up a ton to get him.
Right.
He's been very productive. When they use him, and he has a total vibe with Russell Wilson. Apparently, all the broadcasts that I listen to, he's like best buddies with Russell Wilson. And last I checked, can you name the number two wide receiver on the Seattle Seahawks? Doug Baldwin, obviously.
Tyler Lockett, maybe.
Okay, but it's Tyler Lockett.
Paul Richardson.
It's Paul Richardson. It's all the... Are they really number twos, or are they threes or fours?
They're number two,
so,
all right.
So there they are. But to me, Seattle can't let Jimmy Graham go. To me, they have to keep him.
We'll take a couple of calls on this. 404-741-0929. Where do you want the shopping list to begin for the Falcons? The Vish Computers Twitter poll is up. When we get back, we'll continue that and an NFL bounce. Tom Brady, he's on the side of the radio host. We'll talk about that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
All right, I thought the first scene was so staged, where Brady's, like, in the kitchen, his kid's being an annoying little pissant, like...
Okay, that was Adam Reimer, I believe his name is, and it's the NFL Bounce. It's brought to you by Rick and John here in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And so Tom Brady said he did not want that radio host to be fired. He was suspended 1 week without pay by his radio station, WEEI. And certainly, like, it's a fireable offense if you're a boss, and there's political ramifications and all that kind of stuff. But when Brady comes out and says, nah, I didn't want the guy to lose his job about it, then, you know, we all just kind of move on with our lives, I guess.
I didn't hear much, you know, about it, but I didn't get into it too much. I just said I certainly hope the guy's not fired. I would hate for that to happen. I think we all have careers and we all, you know, make mistakes. And I mean, I'd hate for someone to have to change their life over something like that. That was certainly not what he intended.
And that just lets me know that Tom Brady will be back on that radio station. Lets me know he's going to be back.
My mouth is open so wide I can't even talk. That's the softest thing I've ever heard in my life. That's ridiculous. These are the GOATs. These are the Patriots. These are guys that cheat, like, rampantly. These are guys that have to win the game at all costs, even if they're going to cheat. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there's bodies buried somewhere to help the Patriots win games. And you come out with that? Mm-hmm. That is not the response I thought were going to get from the squeaky clean Tom Brady. What a nerd. That was a nerd response. You got to come stronger than that.
But let's be honest, it's the week of the Super Bowl. You think he really gives one crap? He already had to deal with going on the station, hearing about it, pulling himself off the station and go, no, I'm not going to do this interview. We'll see if this continues. He doesn't want to talk about that anymore.
But he gave a crap when he told the guys that were interviewing him, I don't have anything for you today because of what that D-bag said about my daughter. And now I just don't understand how we get, like, ticked off Tom Brady to now, oh, I didn't want the guy fired. I don't want his life, you know, changed because of this. Dude, he dissed your daughter harshly. I don't know. I was expecting a little harsher response there from Tom Brady. Tom or John, I think this is a sign that he's soft, and I think this is a sign that the Eagles are going to beat the Patriots on Sunday. I'm just kidding. That last little part was just me playing radio.
Okay.
It was just playing radio. You know, back in the day, one of our nighttime guys accused me of playing radio.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
You didn't?
It was the first time that I actually was introduced to that term. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what that term meant because I was inside of a year into radio. And that nighttime guy's no longer here.
Where's that nighttime guy?
I think he might be up in Chicago with his arrogance. But
I didn't know that guy, but I heard about him.
But in terms of, called me out for playing radio. And so I learned what playing radio was, and I, in fact, was not playing radio. I was, like, in the realm of hot take, I think, and he confused the two. But that thing I just said about Brady at the end, about the Eagles beating the Patriots, that was playing radio.
We'll play some of the cuts from Belichick and Foles and Wentz and stuff for just a second. But we got a text coming in from the 706 area code. I've got a girl for Grant. She grew up watching WWF/WCW with her grandfather and her dad. played softball throughout college. Though if she ever ran into Chipper Jones while she's with Grant, she might be gone. So the dating game with Grant, and I don't think Grant is approving of this at all.
Not at all.
It was funny for like the first 10 seconds. We just ran past Grant in the hallway and said, hey, we got a text with a girl potentially for you. He goes, oh, boy. Like, Grant would be one I think we'd have to take kicking and screaming to actually go on the date.
Well, the question is, okay, like her resume reads pretty well. It kind of merges up with Grant's interest, but is she hot? Is she a 2 or is she a 7 or is she an 8? So we need to know that. Like, you can't start with, oh, yeah, grew up watching wrestling and played softball. You have to start with she's an 8, dot, dot, dot. And she has all this sports in her background.
Maybe the fact that she grew up watching wrestling and loves baseball is a 10.
Yeah, but like you can't sell Grant McCauley or me or any dude on, she's got a great personality. Should go on a date with her. I'm sorry, you're setting me up with a 4. She's a friggin' toad if you're starting with she's got a great personality.
Let's be honest, I'm a 4. I've got a 10. Got to shoot your shot. What you got to do? Got to be like Allen Iverson to get your attempts.
So is there any part of you that think that that is a very soft response from Tom Brady?
No, you know what? No, I don't care. I mean, I
get it. It's a big non-story, but it's soft. You go from ticked off to now you want to have dinner with the guy that dished your daughter. No, it's a joke.
It's not like he's going out on a family, exparte. He's not going out anywhere to buy him tea and crumpets, as you love to say. It's not going to happen.
I still don't know what a crumpet is.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't think it's soft. I think it's just Tom Brady going, all right, I'm done talking about this.
Yeah, now you hit the point on the head. It was still soft, though. Do we have a slice of life for tomorrow? Squirrel. Could we do this slice of life, please? Mm-hmm. Because I need help. We have a very jealous dog at home. Of course, we have a brand new pug. This pug is the cutest little thing breathing oxygen on planet Earth.
Shock G.
It has captured our attention in the Kamla household. Mm-hmm. Now, I keep looking over at Versailles, and he is pouted up.
Yeah.
He is in his feelings, jealous as heck, mm-hmm. all that noise. So, tomorrow, Slice of Life, I need to find out, how do you cure a jealous dog? And, like, let's take calls, submissions, because I know there's a lot of dog lovers out there. Yeah. So, Versailles is about 7 or 8, mm-hmm. 7, 8, whatever. Great dog, phenomenal dog, but he's in his feelings about bringing this new dog in, and I'm sure
steak normally works.
A lot of the same stuff. But what I'm doing today, it's for side day. When I get home, him and me are going on a walk around the neighborhood. It's about a 3-mile walk. We're going to get him out there. He's going to
now. Who's going
to
make it longer,
everything.
You or him? For 3
we're
miles,
we're both going to make it the whole way. But he's going to be able to pee on a million things like the dogs like to do. This is Versailles Day today.
You know, we bought a kitten, or we got a kitten for Christmas, and it lasted 1 week because our other cat Thomas was like, "Nah, bro, this is my house."
What happened to the kitten? Did he eat it?
No, if we would have left the kitten, the cat would have been dead by now. We ended up giving it back to the people we bought it from. Couldn't keep him. Thomas, day number 2, we were trying to integrate him like in the cage. Thomas just sat there and went. And Thomas is the most friendly cat in the
Thomas world. Was scheming the murder of the kitten, wasn't he?
He did a drive-by slap punch. Pow! And the poor kitten, I felt terrible. The kitten was awesome. But Thomas was like, this is my house. You will die if they let you out.
So little Shakti kind of shimmies up to Versailles' bed in our living room, and Charity Mirror watching like, aw. And all of a sudden, Versailles goes, hurrah! And like snapped his jaws like right in her face, and we were like,
and then
oh
Shock
my God.
T peed on the floor.
Exactly. So tomorrow, slice of life.
Speaking of guys that just Rick, it's Versailles Day at the house today, but it's always Bill Belichick Day.
No, it's not
for Rick Kamla. So we got to hear some sound from Super Bowl Media Day. Bill Belichick, I'm sure this quote is captivating. I'm sure this quote is very telling. I'm sure it's everything you look for out of Bill Belichick when he says that his team deserves this.
These players deserve it. They've had a great year. They played hard. They played their best football at the most critical times, and that's how we got here. You got to earn this trip. Can't get it any other way. And these guys have played a lot of good football. You win 15 games, and that's not easy to do in this league.
Yeah, you can. You can cheat your way to the top, Bill. Isn't that right? Isn't that what y'all did? A little Spygate, a little thing called Spygate. I will take this to my grave. Bill Belichick's cheating Patriots would not have beaten the greatest show on turf unless they were cheating. I will take that to my grave. John, that was the most unbelievably spectacular offensive football team we had seen at that time. Mm-hmm. Warner, Falk, Bruce Holt, the whole thing.
Right.
I am sorry, that Patriot team was an upstart team in a little bit over their head, ahead of schedule, all that stuff. That was not their Super Bowl to win. That was the Rams Super Bowl to win. It was to kind of get a dynasty kindled and all that kind of stuff. And Bill Belichick knew he was not going to beat that team fair and square and set up cameras to watch their practice. And then you have the Rams the entire game going, it's like they know what we're running. It's like we're calling a blitz right now. They have the perfect blitz pickup on. How? Because they watch their practice and then dispense the information to their players. So, yeah, Bill, you can do it other than earning it. You can cheat your way to the top, and you've done it before.
Yeah, and outside of that, remember, that's a 16-16 game with a minute and a half left, and everybody goes, okay, New England, kneel on the ball. Let's go to overtime and play for one win. And Bill Belichick walks down and goes and scores a touchdown. Whatever, it was maybe a
Vinatieri field goal.
Yeah, they get the field goal to win. 16-16, 19, I don't remember. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, me either. I don't know.
Either way, they win by a field goal right at the end.
And they cheated to do so.
Here's some Nick Foles talking about beating this Patriots team and how it could be part of the Eagles' journey. Beating the Patriots team, how it could be part of the journey. Mark's looking, going, uh-oh.
Obviously, beating Tom, beating the Patriots is huge, but for me, it's about the journey. It's about the men I've done it with. It's about this organization. You go through so much with the team. I've been through a lot with the Eagles, and just to be here to beat the Patriots would be, you know, wonderful.
Wow. Hold on a second. Have they played the game yet? It's 6:30 on Sunday. Play the very beginning of that soundbite. I am so done with these soundbites. Play the very beginning of that again, please.
Obviously, being Tom, being the Patriots is huge, but for me, it's about the journey. It's about
the men. Stop. You haven't done it yet. John, he starts that sentence with if.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's about the journey. It's about the men I've done it with.
You haven't done it with them on the journey. The journey is right. Okay, Rick Hamill, calm down.
You are calm on down. One right now.
I just hate You're these guys. Up. I hate all of them. I don't want to watch this stupid game.
Rick, it's not your fault.
Is it? Is it Wednesday? What day is it?
Help me out. It is Tuesday.
They haven't even started practicing for the Super Bowl, but Nick Foles has already won it. He's already tasted the champagne. He's making parade plans. Give me a break.
Here's some more from Media Days, your favorite time of the year, talking Eagles and Patriots.
I don't want to just be constantly stuck in that, trying to make money.
How did she get there?
Money, cause that's
shut
when
up,
like,
Rhonda.
Just one of the stages. And Rhonda, we get it, man. You're excited to be back a part of the WWE.
But then,
who is more long-winded than Ronda Rousey?
That's a question that's hard for people to answer.
It's a good question.
Bill Walton?
Yeah, Bill Walton's one of them. Rick Bucher.
Good one.
Rick Bucher, we got two questions in 15 minutes to Rick Bucher.
He has a radio show. I won't say where, but it's NBA related, so occasionally I listen to it. Dude, he just talks. It's unbelievable.
Really
he doesn't even come up for air. Kind
of
like
life and my opportunities.
Maybe he should holler at Ronda Rousey. Get a little date.
She's got a boy. She's engaged or boyfriend or something, and he's a former UFC guy. I ain't messing with that dude. I did a rip an arm off.
This is not a smash and grab. This is not a publicity stunt. You know,
she hasn't stopped talking. That's the funny part.
That started yesterday at 12:30. It's still going. Hey, we got From the Bible, Book of Mark coming up next.
Look, UCF, we get it. You went undefeated. It's time to slow your roll just a little bit. Let's go to next. From the Bible, Book of Mark, Sports Radio 92.9 on the game.
My mouth is open so wide I can't even talk.
Sports Radio 9 the game.
Paul, Bible off today. Hopefully he's back tomorrow. So it is
not
three.
Rhonda,
it is three out of four.
When I first met with
Shut
Triple H, I told
up.
Him.
Hey. It is Rick Campbell, John Michaels, and Mark Owens. John, real quick. Emo, let's continue that conversation we were having behind
with
the
Rhonda
glass
Rousey.
On the air.
No.
You were talking about a girlfriend in college who was who had a rare talent.
Nope.
Should we bring that to the air?
No.
From the Bible, Book of Mark, all brought to you by Dunn Waterproofing and Restoration. Get done with Dunn. Call 770-4-FLOODS at 770-4-FLOODS and Dunn Waterproofing. Yes, she can memorize. She helped me with my homework.
Oh, that's good.
Great math skills.
Yeah, we took that conversation to the bullpen, and
that's
one person
we
in the bullpen goes, I'm out, done, I don't want any parts of this.
That's not what we were talking about.
The other way. What do we got back there, Mark Owens?
So this coming from For the Win. Now, obviously, the Eagles are in Minnesota. They got there on Sunday. Now, some players think the Viking fans are being a little childish. Safety Chris Maragos, did I say that right? He tweeted Friday that Minnesota restaurants were unable to accommodate him and his teammates for dinner reservations, and by the third denial, he got a little suspicious. He believes that Viking fans were shutting them out as revenge from the Eagles beating the Vikings.
And it wasn't just okay, let me explain something to you. They have a thing called Minnesota Nice. Born and raised there 30 years. Minnesota Nice is a cliche. It describes the area. Most of the people in Minnesota are the nicest people you will ever meet in your life. So do those people deserve to spend their hard-earned money to fly to Philadelphia and have a full beer can thrown at their head?
No.
The answer
Nobody
is
has
no.
That.
So Philadelphia, you made your bed. Now lay in it and screw off while you do it. I hope they go hungry and starve all week in Minnesota. Dude, if I saw, I'm telling you, I would not serve Philadelphia people. I would totally turn the tables on them because, of course, John, you know what needs to happen? When you go to Philadelphia to see a football game and you're a Giants fan or a Raiders fan, you need to not wear your gear, okay, because you're going to be attacked. So I would then turn it around. Oh, okay, you're a Philadelphia fan. You're wearing your gear here. I'm not serving you. Mm-hmm. So if you're a Philadelphia fan, then you would, all right, I got to take off my Eagles gear, and I will be able to go get some food at this establishment because they're not going to be able to profile me as an Eagles fan. That's how I would roll if I were a Minnesotan.
Typically, if you go out of town, like when we're on the road, on the night before the game, I don't typically wear Falcon stuff because we're going to go out to dinner. I've got a polo on or whatnot. Bo will wear more Falcon stuff. But the good thing is, even in Philadelphia, nobody mess with it. There are a few people, you're Falcon fans, whatever. But
here's the
only
thing,
place
though,
that you get that is New Orleans.
That's the day before.
Mm-hmm.
Day of game, people are riled up, right? And they're juiced up, and they're lubricated and drunk.
Dude, when I go out of town and I'm in a Canes game, I go to Tallahassee, I got my Miami stuff on. You don't want to serve me? Blank you. I've never been to Blacksburg, but if I go to Gainesville, I'm wearing Miami stuff. I don't care.
Help me out with that rivalry. Like either at a Miami game or at the Florida State game, when it's that rivalry, are there idiots throwing beer cans at the other team's fans' heads?
There's a lot of fights.
Is it unprovoked?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Is it
there's a lot
of unprovoked, like cheap shots and all that kind
of
stuff?
There's a lot of blank you and Florida State frat row, they love to stand outside their little crappy frat houses spraying stuff off the balcony and, you know, maybe not throwing full beer cans, but they're trying to rile up people.
Looking for a fight.
Oh, yeah, and then some of them get knocked unconscious and then they don't want to look for a fight anymore. Mark Owens?
Speaking of the Super Bowl, some of the silly prop bets are out, including how long do you think Vegas, how long do they think it's going to take Pink? She's singing the national anthem. What's the over-under? How long is it going to take?
2 minutes, isn't it?
2 minutes. And right now, 2 minutes is at negative 180. At over 2 minutes, under 2 minutes is at plus 140.
I'm going to take the under for Pink. I think Pink's going to zip through the national anthem.
Vegas is telling us differently. Vegas is putting higher odds on it going over or worse odds. I don't know how to say that. But anyway, it's a worse bet to play the over. Because the tendency would be for it to go over.
Right.
But to your point, there is such a push in football, baseball, basketball, every single sport to reduce the length of games. It's just a huge priority, and I don't know why. I don't need less of my sports, but I would take the under as well.
Four of the last five national anthems have gone over 2 minutes.
Now, is Pink one of those artists that's going to be like, and the home?
I don't think so.
As they call it.
You know, and just like string every word out. Is she one of those?
No, she's not going to do vocal Olympics. She's
been
doing
this
so long enough where she is an Eagles fan. So another prop bet is,
so she's dead to me.
Will she have an Eagles jersey on while she sings the national anthem?
I say no.
Yes at 170, no at negative 250. Because they've invited you not as an Eagles fan.
Right.
They've invited you as an artist to come up there and sing the national anthem.
But Pink has an attitude, right?
Of course she does.
Softened a little bit. Yeah. She's got a little more pop to her than she did in the 90s.
But she's still got a big old chip on her shoulder, right?
I don't think so. She's a millionaire now. So.
I say that she wears the Philadelphia Eagles jacket.
Final prop bet. Will the game go into overtime? Yes, plus 600. No, negative 800.
It's not going. Very rare
it's a
for
blowout.
A game to go. No chance. None.
It's a blowout.
None. Rick's going to be downstairs with a spinny cardboard sign. And he's going to help the guys down there actually deconstruct this parking deck. Which, by the way, they built
That's what's not happening.
They built I-85 faster than they've taken down three levels of a parking deck over here.
Sherman could have burnt Atlanta, and we could have rebuilt Atlanta quicker than it's taken them to redo Colony Square.
Or the bathroom.
That's too soon.
Sorry, my bad.
Too soon.
You guys ever watch
too
that
soon.
Show Hoarders on A&E?
I used to. It's kind of disgusting.
You know, it's like you think your house is a little cluttered, and I'm like, the house is a mess. I'll flip that on. Nope. I'm living in style. Yeah. I'm a clean son of a gun. Well, there's a website, and it's Simply Self Storage has an article about which city hoards the most. Now they use the metric,
Tuscaloosa.
They use the metric of cities that search storage units and storage related items. So here are the top cities for hoarding in the United States.
Hold on, let me try to guess this real quick. I bet it's a southern state.
Yeah, it's going
to
be a southern one.
I bet it's a southern. I'm going to say city or state.
Cities.
What's the top city in Mississippi?
Jackson.
I'm going to say Jackson, Mississippi.
I'll go with Birmingham.
All right, you are correct. They are in the south. Number 10, Tampa, Florida.
A lot of old people live there, so yeah, they hoard.
Bring other old pictures.
Their knickknacks and stuff like that.
Fort Collins, Colorado. Got to make room for dispensaries.
Yeah, that is true.
Miami, Florida at number 8.
Again, a lot of old people live there. So.
Okay.
Columbia, South Carolina at number 7.
All their championship trophies.
Vancouver, Washington, number 6. Irving, Texas, number 5, their guns. Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Again, a lot of old people.
Number 4. Orlando, Florida, number 3.
I sense a theme here.
Lubbock, Texas, number 2. And number 1, Vegas.
I can get Vegas.
Vegas?
And the reason they say Vegas is because you can't do basements because you're building on rocks and desert. So they need more storage space. So the most hoarding in the country.
What was the second one?
Lubbock, Texas.
Hey, that was Mike Leach just putting kids in the storage shed.
Wow. If you saw my collection of baseball cards and CDs, you would call me a hoarder.
One more for you real quick. As a Bulldog who got beat by Alabama, I got to give props to this Alabama player here. UCF showed up at the Pro Bowl all wearing their national championship T-shirts because UCF went undefeated. Therefore, they deemed themselves the real national champions. They were honored at the half. They weren't honored at the Pro Bowl as national champions. They were honored because it was at Camping World Stadium in Orlando. They were honored for their undefeated season. While Alabama running back Damian Harris tweeted out, once he saw the team celebrating on the field, he tweeted, "These pictures are live. Where can I find one with y'all holding the trophy?"
Why would they honor, I get it, Orlando, Central Florida.
Yep.
Okay, so beyond that, that is like so provincial. This is the NFL Pro Bowl.
Right.
This should not be about honoring one particular college football team. And if it is, it should be the team that actually won the championship. Like, there are so many wrongs involved with this story. I don't know where to begin.
Here's my thing with this, and we were talking about this before the show. You first did it. Okay, it's funny. We're going to call ourselves national
champs. Give yourself a banner. You have a little
parade. Awesome. January 11th, you did that. It's funny. It's like 3 weeks later. It's now borderlining embarrassing. If I'm a player on this team, I'm not walking out at the Pro Bowl parading around as if I'm the real national champion. Like, dude, get over yourself, Central Florida. I'm on your side. I think you should have had a shot to play in a playoff because I think you should go to 8 teams. But to call yourself national champions, you guys look like the little brothers that are trying to get invited to the dance.
It's ridiculous, M.O.
They even tried to get the legislator in Florida, legislation, to get car tags to recognize UCF as national champions.
Get over yourself.
So I told you this pet peeve of mine a couple of days ago. Everybody wants to redefine things, right? You want to redefine what a dynasty is. You want to redefine all of this stuff. You can't redefine what a champion is. Okay? And they're trying to do that. It's so annoying. Hopefully, John, other people don't follow their lead.
Two quick pieces of research material for you and names you can spell.
Okay.
Amanda Taylor.
All right. That ought to be hard to find.
And I got another one for you.
All right.
Vi Ho.
Huh?
V-I space H-O. So you got Amanda Taylor and V-I H-O. And if you missed any of that, we'll put all of this up on iTunes. Go subscribe to us.
Whoa.
Search 92.9.
So it's Miss Viho.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of skin on her Instagram feed. Just
all saying. Right. There'll be a lot of skin in studio next. It's Knox Bardeen. He's going to stop by. We're going to bicker with him about the Falcons' position needs. And should he call himself a national champion? Why not? Everybody else is doing it. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Weekday mornings on The Game. It's John and
Game.
So much to get to with our buddy Knox Bardeen, 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. But Knox, let's start with what you have been up to over the last couple of weeks. And of course, that is working on the new, fancy, improved 92.9thegame.com. Are you ready to tell us about the new website and the functionality of it?
I'm not going to give away too much stuff right now. This mm-hmm. is a. I will tell you guys.
Well, that's a corporate answer.
He's a corporate guy.
Come on now.
What are you going to
tell
us?
I'm still the same.
Will it be better? Give people a reason to go to the new website.
This is going
to
be fantastic. You're going to be able to come to our website, and first and foremost, it's going to be clean. The ads aren't going to pop out at you anymore. It's not going to have underlined words that take you to new sites. Everything's going to be at 92.9thegame.com, and that's another important thing. You know, we're not CBS Radio anymore. We're Intercom. Our website now is 92.9thegame.com. It's not CBS local, anything like that. It's going to be, and you're going to be able to come and find your Falcons stuff right on. You know, mm-hmm. Braves, Hawks, Atlanta United. And boy, are we going to have a great Atlanta United page. It's going to be really easy to integrate everything you guys create on the radio side, everything I create on the digital side, and mesh it together. It's going to be a lot of fun. Feb 14, Valentine's Day. Happy
really?
Valentine's Day to everybody.
Okay.
We'll talk about it.
We're going to ask an early slice of life for tomorrow to you, Knox. Are you a pet guy? Are you somebody that has pets?
Two beagles.
Okay. Two what?
Beagles.
Oh, the little long,
dogs,
skinny dogs?
Yeah,
like Snoopy.
Okay. How do you handle jealous dogs? Because Rick's got a jealous dog scenario.
Do you comfort this jealous dog? What's a jealous dog?
What are the ages of your beagles? Did you get them both at the same time?
Same time.
It's different.
12
yeah, it's
years
different.
Old. I mean, they're pretty old.
So they've known each other for life.
Yeah, absolutely. They're brothers.
Are they NWO or are they DX?
NWO.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you a wrestling guy, too?
No idea what I disagree to there.
You don't know who the NWO is?
I think I know. Maybe.
You guys.
Just from listening to you and Mark talking Japanese like half the show every day, I know that the NWO and DX are wrestling references. I don't really know what the hell they mean, but I know they're in the wrestling sphere.
They were factions.
Factions. Yeah, okay,
they,
sorry.
Were they
heels?
They were like cool heels.
Look at me, Knox. I'm getting down with the wrestling vernacular here.
And what was the second one you said?
DX.
DX.
Not DMX. That's the rapper. Oh, this is why I love having Knox in here.
Knox, you're our boy. Tomorrow's Slice of Life, I'm going to, and we are going to talk with dog owners, pet owners about how to deal with a jealous pet, because we got a 7-year-old dog and we have a 6-week-old, 1.5-pound pug who has captivated our attention pretty significantly. So our 7-year-old
dog doing? Is it like rebelling?
No, he's pouted up, all sad. You know, where'd mama go? She used to love me, that whole thing, you know, and she still loves him. So today's Versailles Day. I'm taking him on a long walk today.
There you go.
He can wag his tail and pee on a million bushes, and it's going
to
be great.
I don't understand the fascination. Like, I'll take my dog to poop at night. Why do they walk in circles for 45 minutes? It's 4 degrees outside. Like, dude, you're going to poop in that spot anyway. Stop twirling around and stopping and backing it up and spinning it around again, and you're just pooping in the same spot. Like, what the hell's wrong with dogs?
If you want to get rid of all that nonsense, build a fence in the backyard, put a doggy door in. Best thing I ever did at my house was install a doggy door.
I don't need poop
room.
In my backyard. Nope.
Why?
Because I don't want to step in it.
Clean it up.
Invariably, it'll be underneath a leaf somewhere, and all of a sudden your shoes are ruined. No.
So
pooping in my backyard.
So you take your dog elsewhere to poop in your neighborhood. Do you have the little baggie?
He goes off in the areas that I don't need a baggie. Like, I take him in the bushes.
You're right.
I take him in the bushes.
I'm going
to
say yeah right
he's
to
that. A-hole.
No,
a-hole that's in my front yard letting their dog poop and just walking off.
He'll pee in somebody's yard. I don't let him poop in the yard. We have some areas that are like bushy areas. I'll take him in the woods.
Okay.
It's probably why I have bites on my legs. I think I got bit by something the other day.
Okay.
But I take him off in the bushes.
I'm not totally buying this story, Knox. Are you totally buying the story that he goes into the woods
I do.
For his dogs to poop
time.
every single time? Even when it's raining?
I'm not having him poop in people's yard. Because I've seen guys that like walk by, and I've actually walked outside like, dude, you're going to let your dog poop in my yard? I don't be that guy. I'll throw the poop back at you.
So what charity, people used to let their dogs poop in our yard in Roswell. You want to talk about wifey going from zero to 100 real hot?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and poop in Charity's yard. Or have your, sorry, have your dog poop in Charity's front yard.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a time I go cop a squat right in front of Rick's yard.
Unbelievable.
Before I go ring the doorbell, let me hop over here to Charity's
yard. I'll go poop right on the broken fence.
Which has since been fixed. But that's a good pull right there, because we at one point did have a broken fence.
Thanks to somebody bringing a friend to a party. All right, now,
they got a little too drunk.
We were talking Falcons earlier, and we were talking about what position group do you want to see them address first. Mind you, you've got four defensive linemen who are free agents. Ricardo Allen is a restricted free agent. As Thomas Dimitroff said to Jarvis, make sure you study on that so we know that he's a restricted free agent. You have a tight end position that, quite frankly, was not very productive this year, and you have guards that can be an issue. You have one group that you're attacking first. Which one is it?
It's the offensive line. It's that interior line, and I don't know if you guys want to differentiate right now free agency versus draft, or if you just want to talk offense or offseason needs, but I definitely think you have to shore up that guard position. Andy Levitre hurt at the end of the season. It required Schweitzer and Garland there to play. I don't think the Falcons want to go into 2018 with that. I think it's a free agent move. I think you go out and pull the same kind of thing you did when you got Alex Mack. Go out and find the best offensive guard that's still in the prime of his football career. Bring him in, solidify one of those guard positions.
What about bringing back Andy Levitre at perhaps a new number? Perhaps you bring him back at 8. You know, he's in your system. He knows what you want to do and how you want to do it. He synced up with Jake Matthews and Alex Mack. I'd be more comfortable with that as opposed to going out and spending a ton of cash, like $40 million over 5 years on some hotshot free agent guard. And Knox, in terms of, you did agree with me. I said first two rounds of the draft, I want line of scrimmage, whether it's D first and then offense second, or offensive line first and defense second. I'm with you, though. We have to get a guard, and I believe it's through the draft. I would rather get a guard who's going to be relatively low dough for the beginning of his career, and then hopefully he turns into a Pro Bowler and you have him for 10 to 15 years. I'd rather go the draft route for that.
The problem with that is where the Falcons are drafting. Show me in the mid to late 20s, an offensive guard that came in through the draft, first or second round, that really made a Pro Bowl-esque kind of difference to that team.
You're killing me right now. Because why not? We could probably go back through drafts and look 20 through 32 and see, yep, this guard turned out to be like, and by the way,
a 21, 22-year-old kid to come in here and now go up against the Dontari Poe.
Well, hold on it. Well, hold on a second.
Hold on a second.
Will Hernandez of UTEP, he was one of the buzz guys at the Senior Bowl. 6'2", 340. They're calling him a freak. A freak. He is not a boy coming in here to play against men. He's a young man coming in here to play against men. Billy Price of Ohio State. Read up on this
dude.
You
don't know if
that's gonna
translate.
They say he literally eats nails.
Jake Matthews had Hall of Fame blood in his body. I mean, he was supposed to come in here and be everything that his, you know, that everyone in his family tree was, and he hasn't materialized in that Hall of Fame tackle yet. Now you're asking a guard, and the weird thing about the guard position is you come in here and you draft guys, especially if you're going to take a guy in the first round, you're looking at a tackle in college, and you're sliding them in to play guard. Then there's a transition there. Very few guards from the college level come in at the place where the Falcons are going to draft it and are ready to go. Go through free agency, get your guard, and I agree with you. You do have to shore up the trenches, both sides, offense, defense, in the first couple rounds. I wouldn't hurt my feelings if they went D-tackle, D-end in the first round either.
What's interesting, Knox, you talk about guys that could be available and go out and spend the big money. Andrew Norwell is probably arguably the best name, a 26-year-old guard in Carolina. Carolina's got the interesting dilemma with Starlow Tulele being a free agent and Norwell being one as well. They can use the franchise tag on one and then potentially go out and sign the other, or vice versa. Norwell, according to sites, could be a $12 million a year guard.
Wow.
Falcons only right now have about $17 million in cap space. Justin Pugh, another name, a guy that's 27 years old. He was a guard for that god-awful Giants offensive line this year. They're looking at about $6 million for him. Josh Klein, another guy, relatively young, 28 years old. You're looking at $10 or $11 million for him. So when you say go pluck the best, you would then have to take all of your money and put it in one of those resources. And that's going to mean Dontari Poe's gone. Potentially Adrian Claiborne's gone. And now you're creating holes other places.
Yeah, well, Knox.
Not necessarily, because what's the Falcons' number one offseason priority when they're on the contract? And a new Matt Ryan contract, everyone's freaking out, oh, it's going to be how many millions of dollars? But what people don't realize is that contract's going to be cap-friendly
sure.
for 2018.
Absolutely.
He's going to clear up a lot of space. So I don't think that, you know, we need to be hamstrung by that $17 million figure just right now.
Well, and the other one on the line, to go to Rick's point about Andy LaVitre, if you decide to bring him back, right now he's going to be an $8.375 million cap hit next year. You're not going to have him back at that number. There would have to be a restructure of some sort. He is only owed right now $1.3 million on a restructure bonus that he did when he signed here after the trade a couple of years back. So that's the only guaranteed money you have. Now, what Andy LaVitre is going to say, all right, you're not going to pay me, you're not going to take away $8.3 million without giving me that on the back end somewhere. He's a 31-year-old guy right now. Actually, I think he's only 30, going to be 31 at some point this year. I'd re-sign him and move some money around with Andy LaVitre. Originally, I said, you cut him, you save $7.5 million. But I don't know that you can replace him for $7.5 million.
If that's the case, if you don't feel that you can replace him, that's right. You add a year onto his contract and try to move the numbers around. Instead of a 8-point-whatever-million contract for 2018, you know, sign him for next year, make it 12, and split that up 6-6.
I mean, think about it. If you let LaVitre walk or cut him or whatever – now, who are your guards? You really have two open spots because
Garland, yeah.
Well, I mean, I get it, but Ben Garland is we still don't know if he is a sturdy guard to play every snap of every game all year long, and we don't know that about Wes Schweitzer either. Even though he got the starting job last year, he was graded as one of the bottom half right guards in the league.
I definitely think it's an area that the Falcons are going to have to address, probably in the draft and free agency. And by free agency, that means the LaVitre question.
But what's interesting,
I'm with you there.
What's interesting with free agency, though, Matt Ryan's number is obviously going to be moved around. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
Levine Toilolo could be a cuttable guy that saves you about $5 million. Andy LaVitre, if you renegotiate that, could save you $6 or $7 million. But they've also talked about Matt Ryan may not be done before free agency. That was Pro Football Talk last week said, it may not get finished. Well, that doesn't leave you as much flexibility as you may want.
And with the way the Falcons typically handle huge contracts like that, they wait until training camp to do it. They did it with him the first time.
They did it with
Julio Jones.
They did it with Roddy. They did it with Devontae.
Absolutely. So this is a team that the numbers guys up there like to wait until training camp.
I've got some good news.
Okay.
I've got some good news because I just did some, Spotrac crunching.
Okay.
Great
site, by the way.
On my least favorite Falcon. Do y'all know who that is?
Least favorite?
I think John has a good idea who my least favorite Falcon is. Remember in Slice of Life yesterday, we talked about things we've given up on?
Yeah, that was 24 hours ago. It's a long time.
Wow. I cannot believe you don't remember that.
I worked out twice yesterday.
So talking about Austin Hooper.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Okay.
And here's the good news. Next year, he is a base salary of $630,000. Mm-hmm. The year after that, 2019, $720,000, then he's an unrestricted free agent. So you keep him around at that number.
Yeah, of course.
I just want him as the tight end two, not the tight end
Austin
one.
Hooper's not going anywhere, guys. And I'm not even sure you want to send Levine Toilolo anywhere either. This is your best blocking tight end you have on the team.
I get that, but next year, and the way they signed the contract, 3 years, $12 million. Next year, he's going to count $4.5 million against the cap. 2 years from now, $5 million. If you get out from under the contract with Levine Toilolo, he only costs you $2 million. You would save $9.5 million over the next 2 years if you let him go.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
I understand. And this is quite honestly, having Tony Gonzalez here in town was an absolutely fantastic thing for this Falcons franchise. They almost went to a Super Bowl back there with him, and it might have been one of the best receiving tandem with Roddy and Julio ever. However, it has. You just said it. Spoiled Falcons fans to thinking that's how every tight end that walks through the door should play this game. He was the greatest tight end of all time, and that's not even arguable anymore. It's not a fact you can argue. So Austin Hooper is not going to turn into the GOAT anytime soon.
Ever.
Or ever.
Yeah, I was going to say
and
ever.
You know what? 99.9% of every tight end that lands here in Atlanta is not going to be the GOAT.
Well, Knox Bardeen is the GOAT. On the 92.9 The Game website of posting stuff and getting videos and hooking this thing up. We appreciate you here every Tuesday. Yeah, this was Bicker-less. Not bickerish.
Yeah, we fight too much.
Yeah, not too much fighting. We take a break. We come back. What if I told you Georgia had two of the top five guys for the Heisman by odds? Would you say I'm nuts? We'll tell you who next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell, and this show is all-encompassing, Mike.
Yeah, man, we talk about everything. Chicks, guns, fire trucks, quality lawn care, plenty of Falcons.
Huh? It is Dukes and Bell, 2 to 7 every day, Monday through Friday, right here on Sports Radio 92.9
Yeah.
The Game. And we kick ass.
You want to talk about wifey going from 0 to 100 real hot?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and poop in Charity's yard. Or have your, sorry, have your dog poop in Charity's front yard.
We are terminus!
All righty then. We throw a midday party. You know that by now, don't you? Rick Kamla, John Michaels, Johnny Manziel has a champagne bottle surgically attached to his mouth. We have red solo cups full of Red Bull and vodka surgically attached to our mouths. That's just how we roll. We're a little bit different. But we're here in the Kia Studios. We have Mark Owens by our side. Paul Bible, whereabouts unknown at this point. And we don't know when he's coming back. We certainly hope he and his family are okay. But we're usually a four-man band. And right now we're down. We're a power trio right now, John.
We're not Heath Slater. We're not the one-man band. We're a three-man band.
Yep.
Wasn't that Heath Slater, Jinder Mahal? Who was the third person in 3MB? What other crap wrestler did they have there? I don't remember. Rick again, the wrestling references just come from anywhere.
But I'm telling you, like, is it just me or have the wrestling references spiraled out of control?
Yeah.
It feels like there's way more in this little space and time.
You know why? It was just the Royal Rumble and it's WrestleMania season.
And no more football.
Yeah, and Grant and Mark apparently are going on a two-man date down to New Orleans. They're going to WrestleMania together and sitting in some primo seats.
Drew McIntyre, that's who it was.
Ah, oh, he sucked. He was horrible.
Yeah, but he's back in NXT now.
Is he?
Yeah, I think he might be.
But they're going to reboot him as crappier than he was before.
So me and Grant heading down to New Orleans. Now, you got to understand, Grant loves, like, he carries around a Money in the Bank briefcase.
He really does.
That's his go-to. I have a backpack. He has a briefcase.
I want to see him cash it in on somebody here. Just smash somebody over the head and pin him. That would be awesome.
He's heading down on Friday, and I think he's going to an ROH show, which, Rick, you can check out if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to see the taping of one of Bruce Pritchard's podcasts.
Now, if he gets to see Brandi Rhodes at Ring of Honor, good for him.
And I think he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. I am flying in first thing Sunday morning.
Oh, really?
Guess where I'm staying?
At the Ritz-Carlton?
Nope.
The Golden Nugget.
Nope, close. What do they have in New Orleans?
Oh, Harrah's.
Harrah's. Harrah's New Orleans. And then going to the show on Sunday night and then flying back on Monday.
So okay.
That should actually be a pretty good time.
And the top accessory at Harrah's is, of course, chips.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And not potato chips.
No, not at all. Chips and felt and cards and crappy drinks. And I will be full of crappy drinks heading into the Superdome.
Could we do a midday weekend and go to, like,
please.
Tunica?
Yes. We get a Biloxi. We get a Biloxi quicker than that.
Yeah, Biloxi's what? What's a hotel there? Like $1?
And
$12 maybe?
It depends on where you want to stay. Like, if you want
the
Beau
Rivage. The Dewdrop Inn.
There is no Dewdrop. That's the problem. I've tried to do that.
The
before.
Roosevelt Motel. Yeah. Let's stay there.
There is no sleep with your wallet in Biloxi unless you want to get about 20 minutes away from the casinos. You can go to IP.
What's the Beau Rivage cost you? $100 a night?
Ooh, more than that. Beau Rivage, that's the Bellagio of Biloxi. They've got a Hard Rock.
Still Biloxi.
They've got a Harrah's.
They got a Hard Rock?
Do they?
Yeah, they got a Hard Rock.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Hard Rock.
We'll go to Harrah's.
Yeah, play rock and roll at the Hard Rock.
We stayed at Harrah's Gulf Coast last Memorial Day. Right across from the beach.
And a little bit of hip-hop.
Yeah, we need something with some music that I'll actually understand, not...
See, that sounded really good to me. That was very pleasing to the ears. John, I know you're about to hit me and everybody with these Heisman odds.
Yep.
Let me just start with this hot take. Jake Fromm, as much as I love that dude, should not be anywhere close to the top of the Heisman odds for 2018. Let's continue.
I disagree because here's what's interesting. NCAA Football Nation, one of the Twitter follows, they had, and I don't know where they got the odds from, but it has early 2018 Heisman odds. And a couple of names, you'd be like, all right, cool. Bryce Love, number one candidate on there, 6-1 odds.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. Jonathan Taylor from your school, Wisconsin, 9-1 odds.
I'm okay with that.
Number three on the list, DeAndre Swift of Georgia at 10-1 odds.
I mean, what?
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a huge year. Trace McSorley needs to be very, very high on this list. Where is Trace McSorley at Penn
State?
Trace
McSorley would be number four at 14-1.
But he should not be below DeAndre Swift.
No, he shouldn't be. He should be number three behind Taylor and Love. Number five on the list, your quarterback, and he's your QB now. It's Jake Fromm.
Again, I love Jake Fromm. That is absolutely bat bleep crazy. Mm-hmm. He hasn't won the job yet. We don't even know if he's the starting quarterback for the Dogs next year.
He's going to start.
You can't guarantee it.
I guarantee it.
You can't.
Barring injury, I guarantee he's
But you
starter.
Can't guarantee that.
I can.
I'm telling you, you can, but I wouldn't advise it. John, I'm telling you, Kirby Smart is going to have a competition. Justin Fields did not come here to just ride pine and wear a hat and you know, put up the little sign with all the cute little pictures on it of Selena Gomez and Justin Bieber, and you have a little orange in the lower left-hand corner to try to have the other side of the field not be able to script your plays. Give me a break. He didn't just come here for that.
That's fine. You got to go win the job. And you go to a national title game, you're the QB.
I'll tell you right now, Tua Tagovailoa. Let me see if I'm saying his
Tunga
name.
Tagovailoa.
Right. Where are you getting the Tunga? There's no N in his name.
Who do we have on? Was it Eli Gold?
So you're saying it's Tagovailoa?
Tagovailoa.
So it's not Tagovailoa.
No, Tunga.
It's Tunga. So there's not an N in it, but we're supposed to put an N in it.
Yes.
Do you remember
Polynesian pronunciation?
Okay, that's fine. I have respect for that. Do you remember the old center in the NBA with all the hair from Argentina, Anderson Varejão?
Yeah.
And you remember everybody used to call him Anderson Varejão and how annoying that was? Because he doesn't have an N at the end of his stupid name. Tua Tagovailoa should be higher on the Heisman odds than Jake Fromm.
He is not listed in these Heisman odds.
That's a joke. It's an absolute joke.
Here's a couple other guys on there. Will Greer, who goes back for his 11th season
in West
Virginia.
I'm okay with that. He's going to put up amazing numbers.
Mm-hmm. Jarrett Stidham from
Auburn.
I'm
okay with that.
22-1.
Yep.
And Khalil Tate from Arizona, 25-1.
Khalil Tate needs to be way higher on this list. I don't know if Arizona's... It's too crowded.
Mm-hmm.
Can an Alabama back right now win the Heisman Trophy? The answer is no. You have Damian
we
Harris.
We had one before, but right. No, I don't agree.
But that's because the only reason that Derrick Henry won the Heisman is because Nick Saban gave him 40 or 50 carries a game the back half of that season.
He's
okay?
Still sore.
They artificially inflated the numbers so to steal a Heisman from my guy Deshaun Watson. But think about what Bama has coming back. You have Damian Harris, who will be very involved. You have Najee Harris. You have Josh Jacobs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, they're probably recruiting another unbelievable five-star freshman running back.
Right.
There's not going to be the carries. That's why the Jonathan Taylor and Bryce Love thing is real, because you know they're going to be peppered with footballs.
Mm-hmm. Couple of guys that maybe you put on that list. How about J.K. Dobbins of Ohio State?
Nope.
Monster year.
Nope.
I know you.
Nope. Not buying it. Guess who else is there? Mike Weber.
He kind of took the job from him. I know Weber was hurt.
I am prepared for this conversation. I pulled up Mike Weber's stats from this past year with Ohio State. Listen, J.K. Dobbins is a Heisman-type talent. But again, you have to go $2,000 as a running back to win the Heisman.
You're pretty close to it.
You got to go two Bills or 1950 or something like some crazy rushing number.
What about Cam Akers at Florida State? Who came on really high at the end of the year.
I would put him higher than J.K. Dobbins because Cam Akers has a chance at $2,000.
Now, is Jock Patrick still there? I think Jock Patrick is still there.
Let me look that up. I want to say he's going to the draft, but I could be wrong about that. But listen, Mike Weber last year. Mike Weber is going to be a redshirt junior this upcoming season for Ohio State. Last year, 101 carries, 626 yards, and 10 touchdowns. If he takes that away from Dobbins again, Dobbins ain't winning the Heisman.
I believe Jock Patrick's coming back to school. Senior, 6'2", 235.
So then Cam Akers ain't winning the Heisman.
Buzz Killington.
Yeah, serious. But, I mean, Jacquizz Patrick is a good college back.
He's good back.
I don't see him as an NFL guy. He's a good college back. And he's coming back for a senior year. They ain't just going to sit him down. And, by the way, it was a 50-50 split with Patrick and Cam Akers before Patrick got hurt.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some of the other names that are out there. What's interesting to me potentially could be the Texas quarterback scenario. If Ellinger is the quarterback the entire year, year two under Tom Herman's offense, look out for him putting up some numbers. Kyler Murray could be one of those outside the box. He takes over for Baker Mayfield. He's going to get all the opportunities at Oklahoma, and he runs it better than Baker did.
I would say Juwan Pass of Louisville taking over for Lamar Jackson on the far
right.
Fringe. Okay, I'm not trying to promote this guy in any kind of serious way.
What about Jake Browning, who 2 years ago was in the mix? Last year, not so much. Would you put him at higher odds than some of these guys? Higher odds than Jake Fromm? Higher odds than maybe DeAndre Swift?
I would. Because, I mean, he's got... First of all, the voters know who the heck he is.
Mm-hmm.
They've seen him play. They've seen him put up big numbers. They've seen him make the playoffs, and I think all of that matters. But in terms of Jake Browning and what he has around him coming back, John Ross is a Bengal. Dante Pettis is going to be, I don't know, probably a second or third round pick. There are people that think the Falcons should take him. as a kick returner and slot receiver, I wouldn't be mad at that. Dante Pettis can go. But for those reasons, I just don't think Jake Browning's going to have a magnificent season. You know, like you said, a 40-5 TD to interception ratio, whatever it was. But, I mean, DeAndre Swift third on the Heisman rankings.
Crazy.
It's ridiculous. Because you have Brian Herrian, you definitely have Elijah Holyfield, and you definitely have Zeus coming in.
And James Cook, who's a four-star back.
Thank you. I keep forgetting about him. So how in the heck can DeAndre Swift get the carries to go 17, 18, 19, 2,000?
It's not going to happen. I'm not sure that he can, but interesting that those numbers are out there already.
Is it time for Las Vegas and the odds makers to pee in a cup? Because these odds are... They're crazy. They're insane.
It's time for Mark Owens to go back to Vegas and put some bets out there for us. We were close. You almost cashed a national title ticket.
That close.
Yeah.
I lost the ticket, and then I found it a week before the game.
And then you lost it again.
Shut up. It's too soon. Coming up next at Read Between the Lines, it's the two elements put together. Two elements put together that may cause Rick to storm off the set. We'll explain next. Read Between the Lines, Sports Radio 19 on the game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.